Father, we just want to thank you for this time that we can study your word, that we can hear your word, and most important, Lord, be changed. And so we commit this time into your hands now, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Okay, we are going through the book of Romans. We're in Romans 6. I want to encourage you again that not just participate here on Sunday morning, but go home, listen to the podcast, read over these chapters. Ask the Lord to open our eyes to these things, okay? Very important. Okay, we're currently in Romans 6, and the message of Romans 6 would be freedom from sin. In fact, I think we have an illustration from last week. Here we go. We were in bondage, enslaved, in chains to sin and death, impurity, iniquity, the lust of the flesh, disobedience. And we've been set free through the gift of regeneration, the gift of justification. And now in Romans 6, there's several things we're seeing. First of all, we talked about in verse 6, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him. In other words, there needs to be a revelation that, yes, I was crucified with Christ and I was resurrected with Christ. It's something spiritual. It doesn't make sense by human logic. That's why we need to really pray for revelation, knowing this. And then in verse 11, I believe, yes, it says, even so, consider, what does it say? Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And we talked about that considering so means you're staking out a claim. You're believing it so. We gave the example of the early pioneers as they came out west. One of the things that they did, if they, you know, they would stake out their claim because Congress had allowed them 40 acres. So they'd select what it was, they'd stake it out from here, over here to this river, up to this mountain, down here. And we have something, not just Congress, because as all of us know, Congress is a little flaky these days, but the King of Kings and Lord of Lords will back up exactly what we kind of claim as ours that he's given us, you know, here in Romans 6, this freedom from sin. Then last week, we began to talk about presenting ourselves to God. And that's something that supernaturally that happens when we present ourselves. Just like when we presented little Alina this morning. Are we just going through the words? Is that just kind of a nice little blessing? No, we believe that God's answering that. And when we present ourselves to God, there is a grace. There's something that's supernatural that happens. Okay, so let's start in verse 12. We talked about this last week, but I think it sort of will flow in. And then we'll kind of read all the way to verse 22. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you obey its lust. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you. Hallelujah. For you are not under law, but under grace. That's part of the message of Romans 5. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death, are of obedience resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient, where? From the heart, to that former teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, So now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you are slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification. And the outcome? Eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, so let's talk some more about presenting ourselves as, it's called here, slaves to righteousness. Five times in this chapter, it speaks of presenting ourselves to God or as slaves to righteousness. And specifically, we're called to present ourselves or our members as slaves for obedience or slaves to righteousness. Now, according to this passage, the truth is that all of us have presented ourselves or submitted ourselves to either unrighteousness or to righteousness. There's no in between. You know, a lot of times say, well, I haven't made a decision yet. Well, no decision is a decision. You've submitted yourself to unrighteousness. It's one or the other. And you know, there's a myth that's out there. I call it the myth of personal freedom. I won't submit myself to God's law. I'm free. Oh, really? Remember the sexual revolution of this? It actually began in the 60s. It's still going on. You know, in reality, they were just exchanging God's law and his lordship for a cruel master. One that led to all sorts of things. I mean, what all has the sexual revolution brought to those who've jumped in? There's insecurity, there's a lack of joy, there's all sorts of relationship woes, there's bitterness, there's guilt, you know, there's all sorts of dysfunction in our society today, and a lot of that can be traced back to that. See, it's easy to say, I know better than God what's right. Oh yeah, the reality is that we become slaves to sin and all its consequences. Remember back when we studied Romans 1, the last chapter, that, you know, we think we're free, but actually we just put ourselves into bondage and a downward spiral. Romans 6, verse 16, it says, do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you're slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, resulting in death, or of obedience, resulting in righteousness. See, we can be slaves of sin, but where does that end? That results in death, doesn't it? Or we can be slaves of obedience, and that results in righteousness. It's all a matter of to whom we present ourselves. There's two choices, two paths. And we must realize that we're presenting. You know, we have to kind of realize that presenting ourselves to sin requires no attention. It happens automatically. Verse 19. I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, what does that do? Resulting in further lawlessness. So now present your members as slaves to righteousness, which what? Results in sanctification. You know, again, we can present ourselves as slaves to righteousness, and the result is sanctification, and the outcome, eternal life. Two choices, two paths. I think we actually have a little illustration here. Okay, there's going to the left. No action required, just kind of do nothing, you're on that path. You know, you submit yourself to impurity and lawlessness. That results in further lawlessness. Then you become slaves of sin, even though we don't like to kind of think of it that way, we are. And the outcome is what? Death. Or we can present ourselves as what? To obedience to God, which results in our becoming slaves of righteousness, which results in sanctification, and the outcome is eternal life. The choice is ours. We've got two choices here. Sadly, most people, they just keep going off to the left. And even a lot of Christians do that. Because you have to have a conscious decision that, no, I'm going to present myself as to God, as slaves of righteousness, to obedience. Presenting ourselves to God. It's kind of just last week and this week, what are the things we've kind of said? First of all, it's something specific. Verse 13 says we are to actually present the members of our body. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means don't just kind of in a general way, I present myself to you, but the members of our body. It could be our tongue. It could be our eyes, what we see, what we watch. It could be our ears, what we listen to. It could be our feet, where we go. Our hands, what we do. Our mind, what we think about. Our heart, our affections. We present these things to God. And remember that in the Greek, when it says present yourselves to God, it's something you do continually. Every day, I'm presenting myself to God. And also, second thing we've talked about is we present ourselves for obedience. Now, it's not, you know, sometimes we kind of think, oh, well, I want to present myself to God. Maybe he'll give me a blessing. Well, no, when we present ourselves to God, we present ourselves to obey, to be, actually the word that's used is slaves, slaves of righteousness or to righteousness. We also are to present ourselves, it says there in verse, where is it? From the heart. I think that's in verse 17. We present ourselves from the heart with sincerity. And when we do those things, something supernatural happens. Grace is showered down upon us. See, grace empowers us. Some people think of grace is, oh, that's a license to sin. No, that's a distortion of grace. Grace is that he empowers us to live supernaturally. And that's why, where do we get grace? What does Hebrews 4 says? We get grace at the throne of grace. And that's why we have to have received the gift of justification, where we can go to the throne of grace. And that's where we receive grace. Something supernatural happens when we present ourselves to God. In ourselves, can we change? No, we can't. It has to be the work of the Lord. Romans 6, verse 19. Notice there at the end it says, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in, what does it say? Sanctification. Verse 22. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification and the outcome eternal life. Maybe we should kind of review what sanctification means. Because there's two things we really need to know. And these are words that many Christians don't understand. People in the world certainly don't understand. There is justification and sanctification. Okay, justification, that is the new birth. You know, it happens how quickly? Instantly. It's when a person sincerely receives the gift of justification. We are made righteous. We talked weeks about that, remember? We're forgiven of all sin. We receive eternal life. Our names are written in the book of life. We have access to go to that throne of grace. 24/7. And Jesus said to his disciples, when they came back rejoicing, that the demons were even subject to the name of Jesus. And Jesus says, don't rejoice in that, but rejoice in what? That your names are written in the book of life. So that is fabulous. That is something we rejoice and we praise God for the rest of our lives. And if you have not received that gift of justification, the new birth, then this sanctification is impossible for you. But there's also sanctification. And sanctification is a process. When does it start? The moment of new birth. And it goes all the way until you see Jesus. Either he comes back or you die to be with him. That's a process. Okay? And in that process, we're growing in Christ. We're becoming like him. The life of Jesus begins to reign in our lives. We begin to reign in grace, as Romans 5 says. There's the transformation of the inner man. We're set free from sin and fear, anxiety, self-centeredness. The love of God is poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. All that happens beginning at the new birth. It's a process. Now, let me ask you, was justification, was that something that happened supernaturally? Yes. We can't justify ourselves, can we? Most of us have a comprehension that, yeah, I can't save myself. Jesus did it for me when he died at the cross. What we sometimes forget is that sanctification cannot be done by ourselves either. It's a supernatural work of God. If we try to sanctify ourselves, literally, the word sanctify means to make holy, because we're called to be holy, aren't we? Romans 8, verse 29, let's kind of go there real quick. It says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. God's purpose for us is to be conformed to the life of Jesus, to become holy. That's a process. Let's kind of go back to that illustration again. And we can't become holy in ourselves. We can try and try and try. It just won't happen. Okay, let's talk a few minutes about this sanctification. A couple things we need to realize. Just say, I got notes all over the place here. First of all, we need to realize that while justification happens in an instant, sanctification is a process over a lifetime. Also, our cooperation is needed in the process. We can impede the process, or we can slow it down. We can speed it up. We can resist that process. We can even reverse it. Sanctification involves decisions on our part on a daily basis, presenting ourselves to him, decisions of obedience. And that happens daily. And as we make those decisions and responses in a godly way, we become more and more transformed or sanctified. That's the process of sanctification. The process of sanctification varies with each one of us. Therefore, we got to be on the guard about judging one another, comparing ourselves. An example, I remember when I was in my 20s, God was doing a deep sanctifying work with me concerning my tongue, the things that I spoke. And as I was becoming, as God was working on me in that, sometimes I got frustrated because, Lord, why aren't you speaking to this brother and this sister or, you know, about their tongue? And I remember one day, I just felt like the Lord said, that's not on my high priority list for them right now. You worry about what I've got for you. And one of the things I realized is that God has a whole list of things He wants to transform in each of us. And my list is going to look different from your list. And that's okay. And that's why, and God does it on purpose, because it teaches us to be patient with one another. Because our tendency is, if God's teaching me about this, everybody else needs to know it too. God doesn't work that way. Okay? Now, God uses a lot of things in this process of sanctification. He uses difficulties. Yes, that's right. He uses difficulties in our life. He uses things we don't understand. Has anyone ever gone through something they don't understand? Of course you have. Have you ever gone through a difficulty? Yes, you have. God's using that to sanctify you. Disappointments. You ever have disappointments? Of course. Perplexing issues of life. All these things He uses to bring about His purposes of sanctification. Life presents us with many opportunities to close our heart, to get bitter, to be resentful, to get angry, to lose heart and to give up. The goal is not to avoid these opportunities, but rather to respond to them in a godly way, in a Christ-like way. And when such opportunities, which we all are going to have, are met with godly responses, sanctification occurs. When they're not, our heart hardens. And God will start using other means to accomplish His purposes. So understanding this is essential for us to live out the Christian life. It's great, the new birth. It's great, the gift of justification. But that's just the very beginning. It's like we were very blessed and happy to rejoice over little Alina. She's here. She's been born. But that's just the beginning of her life, isn't it? She's probably got 100 years. If Jesus doesn't come back, or the Lord doesn't decide to do something, you know, sooner. You know, she has a big, long lifetime. Most of her life takes place after her birth. Although, at the time of birth, it's a big celebration, right? Same thing for us. It's great that we celebrate the new birth. But that just puts us on the path of the walk that He has for us. And by the way, notice He's walking here. It's a walk. A walk is made up of what? Lots of steps all through our life. Okay. If we don't understand this, or we resist this process of sanctification, we will be frustrated, as many Christians are. Romans 6 is important. It first tells us our basis, or the basis of our sanctification. We're dead to sin, alive to God. Based upon that, and only upon that, we can then enter into the process of sanctification. Many are trying to sanctify themselves. It won't work. The grace isn't there. Grace is only available through what Jesus has done at the cross. And we need to ask ourselves, are we walking this road of sanctification based upon the fact that we know that God is the one changing us? Or are we, you know, there's some Christians, they've camped out for 15, 20 years, and they're just right there at the beginning of the process. That's not God's will for us. And by the way, that's not where the joy and life of the Christian life is. Presenting ourselves to God and living a life of obedience becomes a joy. That's right. Obedience is a joy, and it leads to true freedom when it's lived in the context of the truth of God's word and the grace of God. Actually, have you ever noticed how many times grace and truth are used together? Like John 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that's Jesus, and we saw His glory. Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. A couple verses later, For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through whom? Jesus Christ. Jesus brings both, and they come together. Some people think of it as it's either grace or obedience or the truth. No, it's both. They work together. They work together. So how does this all work? Last fall, we talked a lot about relationships and loving one another. Agape love, remember that? In fact, we're commanded to love, agape love one another. How much are we supposed to love one another? This much? This? We talked about it. How much? As much as Jesus loved us. Wow. That's, how much did he love us? He gave his life for us. We talked about how we're to forgive each other. And we posed the question, how much are we supposed to forgive one another? Actually, Peter kind of asked Jesus that. Do I forgive my brother seven times? And Jesus' response basically was what? How much? As much as he forgave us. Remember, we talked about that. We talked about how we're to serve one another. How much are we to serve one another? That's right, as much as Jesus served us. Remember, he washed the disciples' feet. He says, I've given you as an example that you do, go and do likewise. Now, one of the things we concluded, that according to human ability, these are impossible things to do. Yet, Jesus didn't present these things as options, did he? Rather, he called love one another, for example, the new commandment. It's kind of interesting. He didn't call it the new commandment until right before he died, because he knew that his followers couldn't obey that. But he and the other apostolic writers tell us that the heart of the Christian walk is agape love. All men will know that we're disciples by our agape love. We are to truly love one another. We're called to be like Jesus. But we're only humans. We can't do this, can we? The world is waiting, though, for Christians to back up our words with actions, like love one another. The great harvest is somewhat dependent upon our embracing this part of the Christian life. Yet it is impossible. It will never happen without the Romans 6 message. Without the resurrected life of Jesus Christ living inside of us, there is no way we'll even get close. Actually, we'll just frustrate and condemn ourselves, and probably everyone around us too. But if we, let's go back to that illustration again. If we put into practice, let's say the first one we started with. Yeah, that one. But if we go back and we start doing this, if we know that our old self was crucified with him, we understand our identification with Christ, if we consider ourselves that we're dead to sin, but alive to God, if we start presenting the members of our body as instruments of righteousness, as slaves of righteousness, then the outcome, it says, is going to be what? It's going to result in sanctification, and the outcome will be eternal life. There will be a supernatural grace filling us and empowering us in our lives. We'll no longer be slaves to unrighteousness. Romans 6, let's look at verse 22 again. But now, actually I have that circle in my Bible. But now, having been freed from sin, that's past tense by the way, and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification. And the outcome eternal life. For the wages of sin, we know, is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. But now, we've been freed from sin. That is a message worth rejoicing about, just like the gift of justification. God has set us up not to lose, but to win. He has set us up for this process of sanctification. And one of the things we've focused in on this morning is that we need to be presenting ourselves to Him, to obedience, as slaves of righteousness. And I believe this morning it'd be good for us to have a response. We're not going to have a response by coming up. That's appropriate at times. But I'd like for us to take some time just praying before the Lord now. And by the way, if you're not ready to do this, or you need some more time to think about it, do that. But I think there's many of you who are ready to begin to present yourselves as slaves of righteousness. Now, again, that's not a one-time thing. It's a daily thing. We continually present ourselves to God. You every day, or maybe sometimes throughout the day, you need to remind yourself, Lord, the members of my body are presented to you as slaves of obedience, slaves to righteousness. When that happens, there is a supernatural power called the grace of God that begins to fill your life. You're not going to be sanctified in one day, but God's going to start taking you on a process. And you should be able to see from month to month that process of transformation. So can we do that? Let's just pray now. Let's just bow our heads. And if this is your heart, just pray along with me. Just kind of, you know, amen to your, you know, to the Lord as we pray. Lord, we thank you for this great message of Romans 6. Because, Lord, it tells us that this whole sanctification process is something you've already provided for. Because you've given us this resurrection power inside. And so, Lord, therefore, we consciously and deliberately and intentionally, we present ourselves to you as slaves of obedience. We present ourselves as slaves to righteousness that we know will result in sanctification. Lord, we can't do this by ourselves any more than we can kind of receive the gift of justification and have eternal life. That was all you, and so is sanctification. So, Lord, we just want to submit ourselves or present ourselves to you. Lord, we realize that this is not a one-time thing, but it's something we need to do continually, daily. And, Lord, as we do, we believe that there is a grace, because you've called us to reign in grace. That's what you said in Romans 5. Lord, there's a grace that's going to follow us when we present ourselves to you for obedience. And we do it from the heart. So, Lord, that's what we do right now. Let's just take a minute and just, there may be specific things that you may want to mention to the Lord. Do that now as we're praying. Lord, once again, we thank you for your grace that fills us and empowers us as we submit ourselves to obedience. And Lord, we thank you that this is a process, that if we fall, which we will, that there's grace to rise back up and to keep walking on that path of sanctification. Thank you, Lord. Amen.